Welcome to Revolutionize Your Retirement Radio, bringing you insights and strategies to help you create a magnificent and fulfilling second half of life. Here's your host, certified professional retirement coach and best-selling author, Dr. Dorian Mincer.
I want to welcome everybody to my fourth Tuesday Revolutionize Your Retirement Interview with Experts series. I'm Dori Mincer, facilitator of the call and owner and president of RevolutionizeRetirement.com. And I am delighted you're all here today. So without further ado, I want to introduce Greg Finch, who has really just a wonderful background of a doctorate in ministry, a master's in divinity. And to be honest, I don't know what some of these other initials stand for, Greg, so you're going to have to tell me MTS and BED guides. But after I've introduced you, maybe you can elaborate a little on that. He guides the creation of transformational learning environments across the lifespan as director of field services for the National Center for Creative Aging. His project portfolio includes the NCCA Annual National and Global Conferences, the National Council of Creative Aging, NCCA Creative Caregiving Initiative, and the NCCA Professional Development Institute, and the collaborative design of a range of, he serves as an adjunct faculty at Georgetown University, George Washington University School of Medicine and Behavioral Sciences, and the George Mason University Center for the Advancement of Being. He holds a doctorate in medicine, spirituality, and aesthetics, alongside degrees with honors in divinity, arts management, and architecture from Wesley Theological Seminary, Princeton Theological Seminary, the American University, and Texas A&M University, and he served as an associate fellow with Dr. Christina Polhalski at the George Washington Institute for Spirituality and Health. Greg just has such a wonderful background, and so I'd like to start out with just asking you a little about how you got interested in this creative aging, and because you come from such an interesting interdisciplinary really background and spiritual background. So could we start with you just telling us a little about that, and then we'll go on about the National Center.
Absolutely. And Dori and Donna and all of you who are listening, thank you for this opportunity to be here. I think the simplest way to say would be I was trained as an architect, and I was always interested in the ways that we shape space in which human activity takes place. And so the architectural act is one of holding open a space in which the things we do and love and care about take place. So as trained as an architect, I was intrigued by how arts and humanities intersect with our capacity for being fully human, fully aware and alive and vibrant. And that took me to explore at Princeton Seminary and engaged their Masters of Divinity to look at what it is that makes us tick as human beings. And as I began to work in the world, I saw that there was a way to engage the concepts of architecture, creating space to hold meaningful activity, aligned with how we become agents in the world. And so I explored in the medical arena and studied how our bodies align with our spirits, align with the creative and sensory vocabularies that shape us as human beings. So I ended up arriving at this juncture in my life looking at how do we age well? How do we flourish as we age? And one of the questions, Dori, thank you for setting this up. You mentioned that we'd be inviting people. I'd like to invite everyone who's on the call to think about when I imagine aging, and then have a few words that fill in. When I imagine aging, and then what comes to your mind, a phrase, a word, an image, and you might want to jot those down or write them, type them in as Dori was describing, because we're going to explore that in a few moments. Dori, that's in short, I was an architect intrigued by spiritual life and how it can help us flourish through creativity as we age across the lifespan.
It's such a wonderful background, and I just love the concept, too, of the integration of the architecture, of the creating this sort of safe space to hold the creative activities. And it's just thinking about what it is that enables someone to share, to be creative, and you combine it in such a beautiful, beautiful way.
Okay.
I do want to invite people, as Greg said, just go to the event page, and if you would, jot down any words or descriptors that come to mind about when I imagine aging. I haven't gotten anything yet, but hopefully people will submit it. And also do remember that throughout the entire webinar, please submit any questions or comments, and I'm going to be integrating them in. So in addition to the questions that Greg poses, I'm hoping that people will send things, will send questions and comments. Nothing's come in yet, so hopefully they will. Whoops, here's one.
No rush. We're going to get to that inquiry in a little while.
Greg, can you tell us a little about the National Center for Creative Aging and the work of the center?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. So the image that's on the screen right now is our vision and mission statement, envision a world where all individuals, where every individual flourishes across their lifespan through creative expression. And so the key is flourishing, and it's across the spectrum of life through creative expression, and that creative expression is the arts and humanities. So the National Center, and Donna, if we can move to the next image, we're dedicated, committed to fostering this understanding that there is a vital relationship that occurs when we experience creativity in our lives, we age differently. And our work at the National Center for Creative Aging is to explore that and to build programs that end up helping us to flourish as we age. If we can move on to the next image after that, the National Center, we're designated by the National Endowment for the Arts, and we serve the spectrum of aging through building capacity, and this will begin to make sense as we start having our concrete conversations, and we can go ahead and advance one more image forward. Designated by the National Endowment for the Arts, and we build capacity, and that's programming around the United States. We also work with policy and public awareness to combat ageism and to really give a new portrait of what it looks like to age. We're going to be talking about that in a few moments. That's why we've asked you to, when I think about aging, I imagine to write to Dori and let her know some of that language. And I have some that I can tell you about. And then we're also doing the research. Yes, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Keep going, and then I have at least one response so far, and I want to invite other people to send in.
Sure, and so we were also about the research and development of new approaches that allow us to age well and in our own world, context and setting. And so the invitation for us right now is to consider, again, how we consider aging in this moment.
That's great. David from Boston says, aging brings to mind transition, change, renewal, and adjustment.
Wow, David, thank you for that robust response there. I think that you are hitting exactly on some of the themes. I was just at an event this week, and I said the phrase, I've fallen and I can't, and almost the entire room said, get up. And it's that sense that as a culture, we have this idea of decline and diminishment rather than one of flourishing and abundance. And David, you've really articulated this concept of moving forward that creativity does. It allows for transition. It allows for renewal and resilience. And I'm going to ask, I wonder when we think about aging, if this image is what we think of And for those of you who do not have the image in front of you, it is five individuals from a campaign that the National Center for Creative Aging worked on called Beautiful Minds. And it was to give us a portrait of what it looks like to age well and flourish. And as you see the images, for those who are there, you see a photographer, you see a dancer, you see a musician and a poet. They all are regular, everyday people, that this is not their vocation. It is their internal mechanism for creativity in life. And what we're discovering is that in our nation, we often look toward aging as decline, as diminishment, rather than this concept of being able to flourish through creativity. So as we think about it, we can move forward, and I invite the image to go forward, and we look at that what is occurring in our society over the decades. With each 100 years since the Middle Ages, we have had an increase of decadal life, a 10-year increase per century, roughly, to the point that right now our average lifespan is in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And my nephew just had a baby boy, Seth, who is now 8 weeks old. And Seth, the projections are that Seth will live into his hundreds. That will be the normal lifespan in this generation that is emerging. And so what we have done, the image that you're seeing on the screen right now describes longevity, creativity, and flourishing. And longevity is this idea that we are living longer. What used to happen, and has happened in our culture, is that I'm going to live longer and decline longer. And that is actually inaccurate. What has been happening is that we, in this age in which we live now, have actually had a 20 to 30 year insertion of quality life. And then we will experience the final decline of our years with the natural body systems shutting down and those things. But we do not have to despair to experience it as a decline. We have 20 to 30 years of new productivity in life. And to put that in context, in the Middle Ages, aging and passing would be in your 20s and 30s. That would be late life. Now, in generations before us, you retired in your 50s, 60s, and most likely would be experiencing decline in your early 70s. And now we're seeing people thriving all the way through their 90s. So we want to talk about how we live that inserted segment of our lives, and then what does it mean to flourish? So I'll just stop a moment for that to absorb. We're living longer, but the arc of that life is one where we have a 20 to 30 year insertion. And that's why this is so critical. And Dori, what you're doing with retirement is so amazing. This is a remarkable period, but we haven't learned yet as a society what to do with it.
It's really absolutely true. And I do have Virginia from San Diego who says that aging to me is sharing wisdom, serving, learning and growing, loving family and friends, and singing, with an exclamation mark.
That is outstanding, and I would put that the singing, I suspect, contributes to everything that goes before it. I can picture you over there, and you're smiling right now, and it's the perfect lead-in to this concept of flourishing. One of the goals today, when Dori, Donna, and I, as we work together, was to provide a tool and resource that's just a simple conceptual mechanism for you to think, and for each of us to think about our lives. And it's the concept of flourishing. And the neuroscientist Gene Cohen, that wrote the seminal work, The Creative Age, which turned on its ear the idea that we just get old and decline, Gene Cohen's research showed the neuroplasticity of the brain. And what actually is happening is when we are stimulated creatively, our brain stretches in new ways. So we may not remember the exact code to the garage door lock, but what we do have is this capacity, as you just pointed out, from the West Coast, of a wisdom base, and our brains begin to think of creative ways of navigating the process. And Martin Seligman, who has written the book Flourish, really distills this idea of flourishing into five activities or actions or scenarios that, if they're all five taking place, we can consider that we're flourishing. And I'd love to explore those with you just by naming them for those who cannot see. Seligman and Cohen suggest that if a life is experiencing positive emotion, positive engagement, positive relationships, making of meaning, and mastery, then we're flourishing. Positive emotion, so we're experiencing delight or joy or laughter. Positive engagement, there's something meaningful that, not watching television, but we're engaged in something meaningful. Positive relationships, that we're sharing with one another, either together or as a teacher instructor. The making of meaning, our story making around what we do, and then an incremental mastery. And that's why the singing is so wonderful. If you think about it, if you're in a choir, positive emotion, check. Positive engagement with the music and the rigor of it, check. Positive relationships, you're there with your buddies. You may not like the second tenors, maybe, but they're still your positive relationships. And then making of meaning, you, each time you gather, you remember all of the times that you've sung before, or you're working toward a project, or you're describing something through song beautifully. And then each time that you rehearse, you have a sense of mastery. And this concept of flourishing is embodied in art making and in the process of creativity when we mindfully approach creativity. And just maybe holding this concept up to the light. So my 8-week-old grandnephew, Seth, if he's experiencing positive emotion, engagement, relationships, he's starting to make meaning of his world, and he's starting to master activity, he's flourishing. And in myself, if I'm experiencing these through whatever engagement, and then those who are beyond in the spectrum of the lifespan, it is possible for us to flourish at every level. Now, when we consider these things, and what is really important about this, and we're going to get into the practical aspects of it, but I want to just lay a few of the evidence-based benefits of this. Whenever we're engaged in any creative activity, there is a cascade of neurological, biological, emotional, spiritual, social, and relational benefits that take place. And I'm not telling any of us anything that we don't already intuitively know. We're simply teasing it out for us to be more deliberate about it. The evidence studies show that the engagement of creativity and the arts and humanities, and particularly as we age, that there is an efficacy that impacts all of these arenas positively. The studies show that there's continuing improved health, there's higher qualities of care for those who are providing care, there's resilience on both the side of the person who is aging and the person who's providing care for them. There's an increased quality of life across the spectrum of aging. And these markers are everything from our cortisol goes up, or goes down, excuse me, and our life satisfaction goes up. Our relationship and quality of relationships goes up when we're singing in choirs, painting in community, telling our stories. and our depression levels go down. And then it has impact for all of us as we age by mitigating long-term depression, lowering anxiety, altering chronic conditions, and enhancing quality of life. And in our conversation today, for many of us who may be giving care for others, it's valuable for us as individuals, as both aging individuals and as caregivers. And for us socially, it reduces social and healthcare costs by enhancing professional resilience for our doctors and nurses and social workers and home health aid workers. When they experience creativity in their care practices, their lives are more resilient and strengthened, and the use and need for medication goes down, fall risks go down, need for antidepressants go down. Those are some of the benefits that take place and as we experience creativity in our lives.
It's so important and helpful to think about that, and I think that concept of flourishing really does touch it. And I like how you're integrating for ourselves in just our own lives as we're aging, but also since there's so much more of the caregiving, whether it be for our children, our partners, our spouses,
yes,
parents, and there's so much known about the burnout of caregivers, but also that people with different chronic situations can turn in and close up in themselves. And you're talking reminded me about this incredible film that I saw, that a number of things, and I can't remember the person who did it, but I love watching all of the films on creativity because I teach in a gerontology certificate program, and so I try to help my students think about aging in different ways. But there's this one in particular, I guess maybe the singing or the music reminded me, it's called Alive Inside.
Yes,
I know
it well. Yes.
It's such a phenomenal, for those of you listening, if you have an opportunity, you can Google it. And I think there's trailers of it, and it's something you can purchase. I know I've gotten it through Amazon. It's using the iPods for people in nursing homes, but not just any music. It's gleaning from either the caregivers or family or whomever what music was important to that person at earlier life stages, and then being able to reintroduce that music. And it's just so mind-boggling to see the coming alive of people.
But and Dori, your example is so perfect. The National Center for Creative Aging, we're actually partnering with Alive Inside, because what is happening right now, AARP has a program, Disrupt Aging. It's a tour that's going around the United States, and Alive Inside is part of that. And they recognize the benefits, as you so aptly described. And the question was, how do we continue this for ourselves? And so for your listeners, it's all right, creativity, but what exactly does that mean, and what do we do with that? And so the National Center for Creative Caregiving, we worked, Dori, this was just perfect.
This was not planned.
The National Center for Creative Aging has created what is called the National Center for Creative Aging Creative Caregiving Initiative. And what is it? An evidence-based online resource that you can use to bring creative action and activity into your day-to-day living. You can bring it in. There it is on the screen now. And I invite you, either now or later, you can go online. You go to creativeaging.org. And then when you get there, you'll find a number of resources for you and for your use. For this particular conversation, if you look over to the right and you click on Creative Caregiving, it will take you right to the portal. And for those who are not on a computer, what you're seeing through any smartphone, tablet, or computer, you can go on to an online, web-based, free, and I emphasize free, resource that has live video modules that have master teaching artists showing you how to engage creative practices in your lives. And in particular, this one is designed for caregivers to provide resources for caregivers who in particular are at home and don't have resources at their disposal to work with their family members. And folks go, oh, that's too much, or I'm not an artist. I guarantee you, once you explore one of these modules, you will go, oh my word, I never knew. And I talk about the caregiving initiative. It's the caregiving guide that you go into, and people say, oh, I wish I had this when my mother or my father or my uncle. And so I encourage you to go explore it. And what it will do is provide you a number of resources that you can use to bring quality moments into your daily routine, wherever and whatever you're doing throughout your day. So, Dori, that's a perfect tie-in.
That's great. And could you maybe give a few examples for people of...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll give you a very personal example. And my mom had Alzheimer's, and we went through the journey with her through 8 years. And as she progressed with the illness, she lost some of her capacities over time. And I was working on this project and learned from master teaching artists that my mom was still present. She just needed different vocabularies. And the way I've described it is, it's almost as my mom was entering into Alzheimer's. She had been moved to Russia, but didn't speak Russian. She no longer had her verbal capacities, but she still knew who she was and how she could communicate in other languages. I used a creative caregiving guide with her, and it's a simple 5-stage process. You breathe together, you move together, you call and respond, you have a moment of creativity together, and you savor the moment. And it can take 5 to 15 minutes, and it changes the character and quality of your day. So an example, we have one that I love. It's called Sing Like a Bird. And you use the video, and you start out by breathing together, and that starts a cascade of benefits that are bringing oxygen to your system, that are allowing you to be refreshed in the process. And then you do a simple song. Like with my mom, I might go, Mom, do you remember? Let's sing together. And I go, when the red robin comes bobbing along, or any other familiar song to my mom. And all of a sudden, there was an acknowledgement for her that she was there, that she was experiencing the moment in this present moment. And she may or may not be able to sing, but at times she would hum. And then I might start rocking back and forth, and she would mirror that. Or I might hold her hand and take her hand back and forth. And it started bilateral movement in her brain and body and that integration. And you could watch as my mom, there was an awareness that she was suddenly reconnecting. Then we move to a call and response phase where I would say, Red Robin, and my mom might go, Red Robin. Her full capacity might not be there, but she was in tune and alive with the presence. And then we would create something together. We might look out the window and find birds and point, and then explore color of the birds, and it gave my mom a newfound way of connecting with the world. And then finally, we would savor the moment together. Mom, this is remarkable. We haven't been able to have fun like this in a long, long while. So that is an example, Dori, on just on the far end of the spectrum. For those who are listening in as audience members, it's in our day-to-day lives how we bring in creativity, whether it's through being part of a chorus or choir, or whether we are engaged with going to a museum. We've worked with the National Center for Creative Aging has worked with folks at the Museum of Modern Art to adapt one of their programs called Meet Me at MoMA that uses paintings to stimulate enjoyment and quality of life and remembrance and mastery. The Creative Caregiving Guide has sessions that incorporate dance, small movement, painting, printmaking, singing, all of these that enrich quality of life. So there's a core of modules that you can use and then adapt them for your own personal lifestyle and way of use. And the phrase that we use is bringing quality moments into the caregiving day and process. Is that helpful?
I think that's wonderful. I think it's such the beautiful examples of bringing quality moments in the caregiving. And just, I think it's so helpful also to think, and maybe you can share a little too, of just this notion of creative aging as we approach retirement, as we approach any of the life transitions. Maybe you could speak a little more to that too, and then we can come back to the caregiving part.
That's lovely, because I know that each of us, as we navigate our lives, are, if you think about flourishing, we can think about this transition as we either are in retirement or we approach retirement. So as we're approaching retirement, we can ask those questions of what is going to bring engagement in my life, positive emotion, positive relationships, what is going to bring meaning-making and mastery to my life. And so as we're in the process of considering retiring, we can be involved in those things around us in daily living, whether it's a synagogue or a church, chorus or choir, whether it's participating in art making through our community centers or through working with our children or grandchildren on projects. We learn to incorporate the art-making capacities into our days. We begin to build away from television dependence, and we go for nature walks, but we use a nature guide alongside of us to deepen our awareness and understanding. And so that's where we are, wherever we might find ourselves in our work lives, in our workplace. Then, for those, as you were suggesting, as we transition into the retirement phase of life, and Gene Cohen would argue that we're, and this was the point I was making earlier, we now have an insertion of a whole new segment of life. So whereas 50, 55, 60, 65 used to be the termination of life, we have another 20 to 30 years for creativity and productivity. And Gene Cohen's work and research was so profound, so it has a great word for retirement for us to say that this is your generative phase. You are no longer attached or bound to some of the things that have held you, like having to be at the office every single day or needing to raise the kids. They may be out on their own. And so the exploration becomes one of what will help me flourish in my life. What are the ideas and thoughts and experiences that I've always wanted to engage? And so to that end, there are just an explosion of resources out there. In New York City, there's Elders Share the Arts, which is a narrative and storytelling base. In New York City, there's Pregones Teatros, which is a Puerto Rican, Spanish, culturally based theater company that works with adults as they are aging in this new prime of life. And we're working with state arts agencies across the country to work with art programming that is specifically designed for adults as they're entering into the retirement phase. And used to be, it would be the ballet wanting to reach out and get older audiences. No more. The ballet is reaching out and teaching ballet classes to older audiences who are in turn performing. So those are some examples. Dory, is that helpful where I'm headed?
Absolutely. I think it's just some wonderful examples of, because what you're talking about of those extra years, many in the field looking at adult development have been talking about it being this extended middle age. It's not that
lovely.
We're living longer and it's older old age, but there's 55 to 75, 80 is extended middle age, and that's time for so much of this creativity. And there is, I just wanted to get back a little to the comment about when you were talking about AARP and disrupting aging. Bill Thomas, on affiliation with AARP, is doing this Disrupting Aging tour. And I know I unfortunately wasn't able to attend when he was near where I'm living because my son was coming home from college, talking about the different developmental levels. But he still, I think there's still some of these tours happening. So I would really encourage people on the call to check and see. Bill Thomas is a person who's written the Eden Alternative. Just thinking about aging in a different way, and that's what I think you're talking about, Craig, and maximizing our potential. And again, I want to invite people, comments, questions, you might have examples, just submit them if you're able to.
So, you framed it so well, Dory. It's aging in a different way. And again, we say flourishing across the lifespan. What is happening is we're a creative humanity, and so we're determining different ways to live. We're no longer constrained by the social systems. And an example here is in Los Angeles, there's a phenomenal place to live called the Senior Artist Colony. And it was a hybrid where low-income housing worked with developers, worked with a team of artists to design the most wondrous place you've ever seen to live, where there are free classes all day long in filmmaking. It's anchored. They partnered with a community theater. There is an actual theater in the building that is a working theater. And the adults who live there, all above 55, are a part of everything from being in performances to writing their own plays to improv theater. They have painting and art classes that are free. They have dance and movement. And what's happening, people go, oh, you need to be an artist to go there. We're all artists. And so they're creating a different way of living. The age-friendly communities are looking at how we make our societal system available and accessible for us as we age. Lifelong learning, rather than just going and sitting in on a class, they are now tapping into these extra 20 to 30 years of wisdom and creating special projects with universities and pilot cases with mentoring and things. And when these things happen, I go back and remind us that there's a cascade of benefits that are physical, neurological, sociological, that benefit society as a whole. So you're so right, Dory, that it is about a way of aging that is different. And the sad part, if you ask me, it's the way that aging used to be in our cultures before us understood the value of art making and telling our stories. And so we have some remarkable new generative organizations and people who are helping teach us how to reinsert that into our own lives.
And it is so wonderful. And I keep learning about more and more new opportunities. And I did want to comment too that when you said before, we're all artists, there's always that issue about creativity with a little C or a big C. And I think it's, since I'm not an artist in the big C or big A way, but really just thinking about just the little bits of creativity that we all can enhance and develop. And I think that's what you're speaking to.
Yes,
I just was going to interject too with the Bill Jan from Cape Cod. I wanted to share with everybody that if any of you are interested in this Age of Disruption tour that Bill Thomas is doing, he arrives in a bus, I understand, and it's probably fabulous. The national schedule can be found at www.drbillthomas.org. So www.drbillthomas.org. So I recommend, I know there are people from around the country here, so I do recommend that you do it. But go ahead.
And the wonderful thing for us is that the National Center for Creative Aging is actually part of that tour. The Creative Caregiving Guide is on display in every lobby of all, it's a 50-city tour, and I just learned a few weeks ago that they've added some additional cities, so I'm so glad you gave the schedule, and it will be running all the way through November, so you can check, and it's crisscrossing the country, and it Alive Inside is also part of this. It's the next way of aging is how we might want to consider it. It is, how shall I flourish regardless of where I am in my lifespan? And if that is a decision, and the National Center for Creative Aging, we're partnered with the National Endowment for the Arts and a range of other collaborators to help you find your way to flourish through creative expression. That is the goal, to help us age in a way that flourishes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important to underscore. So important. I want to, so Claire from New York has made this comment. She said that, Greg, that what you're presenting is fabulous and inspiring. And she just was sharing that she went to the Disrupt Aging last Monday in Cape Cod and was thrilled to meet Dr. Bill Thomas. And she also said, just as Jan did, about going to drbillthomas.com, and you also can go to changingaging.org to find out about the tour. And she has a question for you, Greg. She says, any suggestions from Greg for dealing with the naysayers, eye rollers, those who claim we're being Pollyannish about aging? And she wonders, perhaps quoting some other research, or she wondered how you would respond to that.
Oh, Claire, what a great question. And I'd address that in several different ways. You've already intimated at some of them. So the research is there. It is no longer a question of, are there positive effects and impact? And we have a wealth of resources on the website that you can connect for research, as does the National Endowment for the Arts. And they have done everything from looking at some of the, exploring the health benefits to actually the cost analysis benefits. And just as an example, and this is to do the evidence-based side, that when creative activity, now, here's the proviso. It must be meaningful, rigorous, and guided activity, that it's not just plopping someone down and having them color with crayons. That would just be like watching TV. What it is, has a structure to it that challenges us and brings us, just like singing in a choir or working on a choreographed dance piece or a theater movement or telling a story. That is what brings about the benefits. So when meaningful creative engagement takes place, the evidence is there. You can go to the National Endowment for the Arts. Those are two starting places, but we can connect you. I really appreciate the way you use the phrase Pollyanna and the eye rolling. And what's so interesting about that is, if you really have someone stop and think about it, they actually know it's true. We all know it from our personal experience. So we don't slow down enough to experience. So I would say one of the biggest transformational tools I have with naysayers is, why don't you try this with me and see what you think? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, the transformation that takes place. And that's why we're encouraging you to go to the website and look at these resources, because we've done it in a 5-stage process that just makes it very easy for you to communicate a informed art making event. And I guarantee you at the end of it, that person will have experienced positive motion, positive engagement, positive relationship. They will make meaning in their storytelling of it, and they will have a bit of mastery. So that is one strategy. The second, folks say to me, how do I get my sister to do this? How do I get my brother to do this? And I go, my counsel is you don't. You don't try to prove anything to the naysayers. You simply live your life the most robust way that you can. And when they see you flourishing, or if you're, as in my case with my mom, if they see you interacting with your mom in a way that is different, they want to know how to do it too. My sister wanted to enjoy my mom in the same way, and she learned how to do it. Claire, I would say that you leading your best flourishing life attracts people, and then you're able to point them in the right direction. And then finally, there are professional artists that are master teaching artists that are all around the country. And two prong on this, just in the same way that Disrupt Aging Tour is introducing these concepts, there are master teaching artists around the country that are involved in hospices, home care, health agencies, care facilities, hospitals, and finding out what is in your local community will help enrich you. So you find the resources that are already there, and you bring people to experience it with you. Once they see it, they're sold. I've just never seen anyone that didn't. And then the final thing that I'll just offer is that we're working, the National Center for Creative Aging is working with state arts councils and arts agencies across the country who are now equipping and retooling artists, gallery spaces, studios, workshops to work with populations as they age and to enhance the quality of life. It's almost there is a wave of resources that are just unfolding, and so you're at the perfect time to ride the wave. Claire, I hope that helps get at your question. I wish we were sitting in a room and could just talk to each other with Dory. The technology makes it a little challenging, but I'm so grateful that Dory's opening these questions, so thank you. So there is a wealth of resources for all of you that are available. And I've talked an awful lot here. What I'm really, if nothing else, is this concept that each of us can flourish where we are, that Dory and the team there are ready to point you in the right directions and connect you with folks that can enrich life now in retirement and beyond retirement, is to say that we have this possibility of flourishing. So Dory, was that helpful in approaching the resources that are available?
Absolutely. And let me just add, because Claire did respond to me, and I did want to share her film if people want to check it out. It's called Light Years Film, LIGHTYEARS film.com. But back to you again now. This notion of the flourishing and the fact that there's this creative process and resilience in all of us, I think is just so important, and so many more questions keep coming to my mind, but I think you have just been, this has just been terrific. I'm just thinking about the resources you have. I was thinking about the transitions of people who suddenly have a diagnosis or a chronic illness, and for those who've been in touch with some of their creative processes, maybe it's a little easier, but it does sound like your resources maybe would speak to how person as well as the caregiver might be able to help people, because the tapping into creativity can be such an important part of the healing too.
Yes, and Dory, I appreciate the way that you noted. There are some people, so folks say, oh, I'm not an artist, or I don't like creativity or art. When we were designing the creative caregiving guide, a woman there said, oh, my husband would never use this because it's too girly, is how she put it. And we said, then we need to do a manly man version, and creativity could use football fight songs and sketching out the choreography of football. And we have to break down this barrier of understanding ourselves as non-creative beings. And I think that's, you were just really attending to that, Dori. So for anyone who is listening right now that says, that sounds wonderful, but I can't get there, what you will benefit from knowing is there is a world of people in your community who want to help you get there, who want you to flourish. And if you say, oh, I can't draw, I can't tell a story, I can't do this, there are people in every single community that will help you learn to do those things. And if you will take that step of faith, if you will step out and look for it or contact us to help you find it, you will be flourishing in incremental steps. You will witness magnificent changes in the way you experience life. And it is there ready and waiting to be tapped. And this broadcast now is one of the ways, one of the touchstones for you to find connection, creativity, and for you to flourish.
Hmm. Oh, that's such a wonderful way to pull it together. I just can't thank you enough for being here today. And actually, I'm thankful to Lynn Barrett because she introduced me to you.
Yes, me as well.
That's how
it
all came about. But thank you so much. Are there, you just said it now, but I just wonder if there are any final, in addition, any other comments or thoughts or things you'd like people as they leave the call to also think about.
Yes, thank you for that opportunity. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to use the same five steps that we use in our creative caregiving guide with everybody that's on the call right now. So wherever you are and whatever you're doing right now, I just invite you to take a breath with me and then release it and then take another breath. And then release, and then bring your attention with breath, and then release. And now I'd like to invite you just to hum a little song. And now I'd like you to just move your shoulders. And now I'd like to ask you just, if you can, to repeat. I'm going to say a phrase, and then you're going to repeat it back wherever you are, whether I can hear you or not. I'm going to say, I can flourish in my life. And now you repeat back.
I can flourish in my life.
Yes. And I repeat back to you, yes, you can. And you repeat back to me, yes, I can. And then I'm going to ask you to go into a place of a moment in your life where you flourished. And just think about, when you get off this phone call, how you might make a little pencil sketch of that or a little song to remind you of that moment when you knew you were flourishing in creativity. And when you get off this radio broadcast, sketch it out or write a short poem or sing a song. And then finally, in closing, send a note to yourself. Write it on the refrigerator. You did really well with that song. Or send a note to Dori telling her what you did. Mm-hmm. And that five-stage process moved you forward in positive emotion, engagement, relationship, making a meaning, and mastery. So even those of us who say, oh, I could never do that, you just did. That's what I'd like to tell mm-hmm. you. You just did. And Dori made it possible. Thank you, Dori.
Thank you. That is so wonderful. I so appreciate that. Thank you so much again for taking this time, and to all of you on the call for being here. So thanks so much for being here. And thanks again, Greg. It was truly inspiring. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Thank you, Dori.
You've been listening to Revolutionize Your Retirement Radio with Dr. Dorian Mintzer. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show, listen to past episodes, or download our free retirement transition guide, visit revolutionizeyourretirementradio.com.